The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, man, the Kansas City Chiefs, they just keep on rolling and keep on winning in different ways. And Monday Night Football was no different. As a matter of fact, I got to say, man, Tampa Bay did what every freaking team has done this year. And it's like, you're almost there. You're able to beat them. And then, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs win, as they always fucking do. This time it was in overtime. Because Tampa Bay actually played pretty fucking well, even without Evans and Godwin. As a matter of fact, if just one Evans or Godwin played that night, I think the result would have been different. I don't even think it would have gone into overtime. I think the Buccaneers actually would have won this one pretty handily. But they didn't. As a matter of fact, they got into their own head because they were down, and then they made a little comeback, and they were able to tie up the game. Now, unfortunately, on this last drive where they tied up the game, as they were driving, I could tell there's a good chance they're going to score a touchdown here. And I'm like, man, if they score a touchdown, because it was about like a minute something left and they were driving down the field and I could see the clock ticking away. And I'm like, oh, cool. What they need to do is they need to go for the 2-point conversion, because if this goes into overtime, hell, even if they just leave like 20 something seconds on the clock, there's a good chance that Patrick Mahomes is going to come back and win this shit. Well, instead of going for the 2-point conversion, they went for the field goal, made the field goal, tied it, went into overtime. And unfortunately, the Kansas City Chiefs got the ball and just drove it right down the field to score a touchdown. And Patrick Mahomes do what Patrick Mahomes do. He went 34 for 44, 291 yards, and 3 touchdowns. As a matter of fact, he suffered an injury that looked pretty bad at first. Just his initial reaction, because that's usually what I look at, is the look on their face. And usually if there's like an immediate type of just look towards whatever it is injured, or just an immediate grabbing of the area, or just there were even times it looked like he was saying, I wouldn't say he was like, oh, I tore it or something like that, but you could tell he was like, yeah, right there. Like, you could tell he was injured and it looked like it was bad. At first I was thinking, oh shit, that kind of looked Achilles area, but you never know. And turned out didn't fucking matter. Dude came right back out did the damn thing. So Kansas City Chiefs remain the only undefeated team in the NFL, because nobody can finish the job against this team. I still can't believe Tampa did not go for the 2 points. Even Troy Aikman was saying it, agreeing with me. He heard me. He said, yeah, I agree with you, Katie. I know you guys didn't hear him say that, but that is exactly what he said. I agree with you, Katie. In my head is what he said. He was saying it. He's like, I think they got to go for 2, because that's what you have to do against the Chiefs. You cannot give Patrick Mahomes any time, even with like the 20-something seconds on the clock. In the fourth quarter, Kansas City had the chance to at least get in Harrison Butker range, and that guy can hit that from pretty far out. So you cannot give the Chiefs second chances. And all these teams, for some reason, are not learning this. And I get it. You don't want to go for 2 points, because it was a pretty bad game weather-wise. It was raining like crazy. But, you know, you got to go for the win against the Chiefs. I'm sorry. You just got to do it. That's how good this team is. You cannot overlook this team. And it's funny because, you know, I've been saying about them all season that they really haven't found an identity. They kind of feel like offensively not looking that good. Well, they're starting to look pretty damn good offensively, and they're 8-0. All right, so let's get to my top 10 NFL power rankings for this week. Not a lot of change at the top. Actually, really not. I think there's only one new team on here this week. I had to give respect to one of them. We'll get there when we get there. But I did not change my number one. Even though I think the Chiefs are still looking pretty good, I did not change my number one, because I think the Detroit Lions are the best team in the league, at least right now. They keep playing this way, man. This team could actually win the Super Bowl. Like, the Detroit Lions winning this, even going to the Super Bowl, is like, what? You never would have thought of that. But now, to me, Detroit is the best team in the league. Hands fucking down. They're 7-1 on the season. Kirby Joseph, 6 interceptions on the season. Branch, 4 interceptions on the season. Their defense as a total has 11 interceptions on the season. defensively, even without Hutchinson right now, they're still looking good. They're still getting at the quarterback, and they're still causing turnovers. Then offensively, extremely efficient. Two-headed monster back there at the in the running back area with Montgomery and Gibbs, and the two of them just slash and dash and just bang your head right up in the middle, and they are just – they're just so good. And Jared Goff, he's extremely efficient. He's not turning the ball over. And then special teams as well, they're damn good at it. And they just have that really no fucks mentality. And I just look at the Lions as the best team, hands down, in the league. And I cannot believe I'm saying that. Then at number two on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Kansas City Chiefs, overall record of 8-0. And it's just simple with them. They just keep winning. As I said, you know, they're 8-0. They don't look as dominant, though, as the Lions do. The Lions look pretty damn dominant. Now, who knows what would happen come Super Bowl time, but I'm just saying that's why I put Detroit above them, because Detroit is also just kicking people's asses, too. Whereas Kansas City's winning these close, nitpicky ones, but they're still 8-0, still a damn good team, still the defending two-time Super Bowl champs. So you cannot overlook this team. As I said, I don't know how these teams are not making these decisions against the Chiefs that they should, but you got to remember, Patrick Mahomes is back there. We saw this with Tom Brady. How are you not seeing this with Mahomes? Because he's basically the new Tom Brady. Then at number three on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Baltimore Ravens, overall record of 6-3. This team is just insane. The only reason why I don't put them above Kansas City just yet is because they've lost those stupid tough games. I mean, 6-3, so they've already lost three games. But I mean, overall, this team is stacked, especially offensively. Lamar Jackson, defending MVP right here, and the dude is having an MVP season. 2,379 yards passing, 20 touchdowns passing, and only two interceptions. 505 rushing yards on the ground and two touchdowns on the ground. Speaking of rushing, Derrick Henry still running all over everybody, leading the league in rushing. He eclipsed the 1,000-yard mark this week. He's got 1,052 yards and 11 touchdowns on the season. So these guys are unstoppable. Zay Flowers is getting going offensively. So they're looking pretty good offensively. Defense is kind of where we're having a little bit of weird issues with them. It kind of seems like at the end of games they're having issues. But, I mean, they still are causing turnovers. They're still getting sacks. And I just look at the Ravens as a really damn good team. And they could beat the Chiefs. I mean, they almost did beat the Chiefs. But 6-3, 8-0. Sorry. Got to put the Chiefs above them right now. Then at number four on my top 10 NFL power rankings is the Buffalo Bills. Overall record of 7-2. I really like what I'm seeing from Buffalo right now. I look at Buffalo and I feel like they're going to be a silent killer, because I don't think anybody is taking them serious just yet. I look at them and I go, you know, I just talked about Kansas City and Baltimore and hell, even Detroit. They're in another conference. But still, I think we all take a lot of other teams more serious than we do the Buffalo Bills, just because they've come up short over the last couple of years. But this team is getting better as the season wears on. Josh Allen, he's already eclipsed the 2,000-yard mark on passing. He's got 2,001 yards passing, 17 touchdowns and two interceptions on the season. So they're riding him. But Cook has had a solid season. Amari Cooper, I feel like he's just going to get fit right in as the season keeps going on. And defensively, they look like they're getting better as well. So the Buffalo Bills, I would not be surprised to not only see them in the Super Bowl, but also win the Super Bowl as well, because they are a team that I feel like has all the pieces. It's just they tend to fall apart at certain points. But right now, the Bills are very buttoned up, playing really good football. And Josh Allen is playing at an MVP level right now. Then at number five on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Houston Texans, overall record of 6-3. I feel like this offensive line is really starting to become a problem for them. CJ Stroud has been getting thrown around these last couple of games. So I feel like that's starting to become more and more of a liability for them. They are battling through injuries as well on the offensive side of the ball. You know, Joe Mixon, he just came back, so he's had a couple of games under his belt. And they always look a lot better with him in the game. Then you have Diggs, who's now out for the season. So it kind of sucks that they've been getting all these random little injuries. But to me, it's their offensive line that's the big issue right now. But defensively, still that same smack you in the mouth defense. Will Anderson Jr. has 7.5 sacks on the season. And this guy is a beast. He's a monster. And the rest of this defense is right there with him. So this Houston Texans defense is stacked. It's just the offense. I look at him and go, there's some little issues there. But hey, they're still looking pretty good. Then at number six on my top 10 NFL power rankings at the Minnesota Vikings, overall record of 6-2. Justin Jefferson continues to be one of the best receivers in the league. He's got 783 yards receiving and 5 touchdowns on the season, making some crazy acrobatic catches as he always needs to do. But with the Vikings, you got to talk about this defense. This defense is really is what's holding him down. They've got 13 interceptions on the season. So this team is right up there with the turnovers. They're right up there getting at the quarterbacks, and they're making life a problem for every offense that they're facing right now. And they did get back on track from those 2 losses. So we'll see what they've got the rest of the season. But they are in a difficult division. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Washington Commanders. Overall record of 7-2. They did improve themselves this week. As a matter of fact, they traded for cornerback Marcus Lattimore from the New Orleans Saints. And Lattimore is one of the top cornerbacks in the league. So they just got themselves a really good player. He's only like 28 years old too. So he's got years to go. And big move for Washington, and they look, you know, they're not blowing anybody out of the water, but hey, they're getting the wins. They're 7-2 and winning their division with a rookie quarterback who's extremely efficient and not making the rookie mistakes. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, a team that's fallen a little bit, the Green Bay Packers. They're 6-3 on the season. Love's injuries are starting to look like they're becoming a liability. I mean, this last game, you could obviously tell the groin was really bothering him. It didn't help that it was really rainy out there, and so the field conditions were obviously terrible for him. But he really couldn't get his footing, and then I'm sure the groin on top of that makes it even worse. And hell, there was even one interception he threw. That was a pick 6, and you could tell that was pretty much thrown because of that groin injury. So it kind of feels like that's becoming an issue for them right now. But beyond Love, I mean, their defense is tops in the league. They're one of the top turnover teams in the league, and really look solid there. It's just offensively, Jordan Love and those injuries are starting to become a liability and kind of exposing them a little bit more. But hey, they're still one of the top teams in the league, and I expect them to get it right. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings at the Pittsburgh Steelers, overall record of 6-2. They are coming off of a bye week this week, so they haven't really done anything. But I mean, defensively, they're one of the best in the league. TJ Watt, probably the best defender in the league. I mean, his stats are not typical Watt stats, but the dude is probably the biggest difference maker on the field when playing. And then, of course, Russell Wilson is actually playing well right now. I mean, who knows if it's going to continue on, but, you know, he's looking pretty good. He's making connections. He's got that deep ball still. So making it work, at least for now. We'll see if they're able to continue to do that. Excuse me. They did just trade for wide receiver Mike Williams from the Jets, who's had his issues with the Jets this year. It seems like he just wasn't fitting in for whatever reason, but he's now going to go with Pittsburgh. I don't know if that really elevates them to any new type of level, but they are looking, they're 6-2, so can't say anything bad about that. And then rounding out my top 10 NFL power rankings this week, the Philadelphia Eagles. I got to talk about this stupid team now. They're 6-2 on the season, but they're actually, these last 2 games, they actually are starting to look like the Eagles again. And Saquon Barkley, that was probably one of the best pickups of the offseason for anybody. This guy's got 925 yards rushing and 6 touchdowns. I guess Derrick Henry was probably a good pickup for the Ravens too, but Saquon is doing big things for the Eagles right now. He's the obvious difference maker. I mean, a few of the games that they won earlier in the season, I don't think they would have won if they didn't have Saquon Barkley back there. But the dude's fitting right in with the Eagles, which is not shocking because they are a ground and pound type team. And he's one of the best. He's got those big ass legs, so he can run for days. All right, so let's move on to week 10 and Thursday Night Football. We have us a doozy of a matchup. I mean, usually Thursday Night Football is very hit or miss. Sometimes it'll be, I mean, most of the time it's a shitty matchup, but sometimes we get these good matchups, and this one is a headbanger. It is the Cincinnati Bengals at the Baltimore Ravens. If you do not remember the first matchup between these two earlier in the season, it was an insane shootout between Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow, and it literally was back and forth all the way into overtime, and Baltimore ended up getting the crazy win. So if we get anything like that, tomorrow night, then that's going to be a great game. Right now, the Ravens are a 6.5-point favorite. I think that's a pretty big favorite for a division matchup, especially with the way things went last time. I know the Bengals aren't looking like the Bengals of these last couple of seasons, but still, division battle. The last game was lights out, and I actually expect the Bengals to come in hot in this one. But Baltimore, to me, one of the best teams in the league. I just think they're going to be way too much for the Bengals to overcome. And so I've got the Ravens winning this one 35-24. All right, let's move on to college football. And this is the first week where we get college football playoff rankings. So these are the 12 teams who would be in the college football playoff if it were to start today. It's not much different than the AP top 10, but it's like the or top 12 that I've been doing. But these are the official 12 teams that would be in the playoff if it were to start today. So let's get started. Who do we have at number one right now is Oregon. They are 9-0 on the season. They just demolished Michigan over the weekend, 38-17. They have UMD this weekend, but, you know, Oregon's, they're probably going to win out unless something weird happens here. So they're probably going to remain at number one. Number two is Ohio State. They're 7-1 on the season. They just took out Penn State over the weekend, 20-13. They play Purdue this weekend. It's always weird to me because Ohio State always gets extra clout. They're one of those like random teams that just everybody, like whoever makes these rankings, and it doesn't matter if it was BCS, you know, back in the day or what we currently do now, but Ohio State, they always are ranked and then they always fucking fail. And they're always overranked in my opinion. And I mean, Ohio State, they're not awful. Of course, they're 7-1. They're one of the best teams in the league this year. But number two, I mean, they barely beat Penn State. Come on. Let's not act like this is one of the best teams in college football. But we'll see how it plays out. That's kind of what the good thing about this college football playoff is that we're actually going to get to see if some of these teams that win the championship are legit champions or if they just end up choking like in the first round or something like that. So that's going to be interesting and wouldn't be shocked if Ohio State ends up being those one-and-done teams. But we still have about a month left of college football, so they might lose another one. Then at number three in the rankings, we have Georgia. They're 7-1. They just demolished Florida, 34-20. They will be at Mississippi this weekend, and Mississippi's ranked number 16, so this is a big deal for Georgia. I mean, Georgia's pretty much handled their business for the most part this season, but they're going up against a legit squad this weekend, so they could potentially help their ranking if they get this win. Then at number four, we have Miami. They are 9-0 on the season. They just smashed Duke 53-31. They will be at Georgia Tech this weekend. Then at number five, we got my Texas Longhorns, Hook'em Horns, motherfuckers. They are 7-1 on the season. They just got by Vanderbilt a couple weeks ago, 27-24. They will be playing Florida this weekend. And also, you know, I didn't get to really touch on this because I went on vacation, and also I did actually technically miss the Longhorns game against Georgia, and I'm glad I did, because I got to see Eminem live, and he's one of my favorites all time, and I have never seen him live, so I was missing life for that one, but so I didn't get to see 1 second of that game, and I'm glad I didn't, because it was demolishing, but man, Texas Longhorns fans acted like a bunch of whiny little bitches. They were throwing trash on the fucking ground over, it was a terrible call, by the way, but still, they're throwing trash on the ground like little babies, and then they get all upset, and it's like, y'all, we lost one game. There, you know, you do realize that 12 teams make this playoff. There's a good chance we're going to be one of those 12. That's all you got to do is make it. Doesn't even matter about rankings anymore. But man, Texas Longhorns fans got their panties all in a wad. They act like we've been winning for fucking years, and it's like, no, y'all, be happy with what we got. We got two good-ass quarterbacks for once. Come on, y'all. We are number five. We good. Then at number six, we have Penn State. They just suffered their first loss of the season. They're 7-1 on the season. They lost to Ohio State this past weekend, and they will be at playing UW this weekend. Then at number seven, we have Tennessee. Such a dark horse team, I feel like. I would not be shocked if Tennessee ends up going on this weird run, if they make the playoff, of course. I mean, there's still a lot of football to be played, but I just wouldn't be shocked if Tennessee just ends up being this really random team that all of a sudden gets to the national championship team or game, and we're like, what the fuck happened here? But they are a silent killer, in my opinion. But they're 7-1 on the season. They just took out the University of Kentucky 28-18, and they will be playing Mississippi State this weekend. Then at number, also tied at number 7, is Indiana. They are 9-0 on the season, 47-10. They took out Michigan State, and they play Michigan this weekend. But Indiana, another team, I wasn't even aware that they were undefeated. So this is kind of the first time I'm really looking like, whoa, Indiana is 9-0. Who knew they had a good football team? They're more of a basketball squad. But then at number 9, we have BYU. They are 8-0 on the season. They beat UCF 37-24. They will be at Utah this weekend. Then at number 10, we have Notre Dame. They are 7-1 on the season. They stomped Navy 51-14. They will be playing Florida State this weekend. Then at number 11, we have Alabama. They are 6-2 on the season. They just stomped Missouri 34-0. They will be playing at LSU this weekend, number 15 LSU. So we'll see if this position lasts for Alabama. Now, if they get the win, the position, they'll probably move up just a bit. But LSU is number 15 for a reason. They're a damn good team. So should be a good game between those two. And then rounding out the college football top 12 playoff rankings here, Boise State. Boise State is back, y'all. Remember, they were that weird Cinderella team that would just come out of nowhere. They beat Oklahoma that one year in the Fiesta Bowl. Oh, man, that was fucking awesome. But here's Boise State back doing their thing. Man, they got this insane running back. Oh, God, what's his name? Genty, I think his name is. Oh, he is so good. You know, it looks like the Cowboys are going to have a pretty high draft pick next year. I'd like to see that guy in a Cowboys uniform. I don't know if you can hear me, Jerry. It doesn't sound like you can hear a lot these days, especially good advice. But you should have your eyes on that guy, because I have a feeling the Cowboys are going to be a top five pick next year, and that guy's going to be a top five pick, if not number one. But Boise State, here they are. They are potentially going to be going into the college football playoff this year. They are 7-1 on the season. They just beat San Diego State this weekend 56-24, and they will be playing my old hometown. They will be playing against the Nevada Wolfpack coming up this weekend. That's Reno, if y'all didn't know, because that's a little town, but that's where I'm from, is good old Reno. So Nevada about to get their ass beat by Boise State this weekend, I guess. So that is the college football playoff rankings. The first of the college football playoff rankings. Going to be interesting to see how that shapes up. But like I said, my Texas Longhorns fans, you gotta get a grip. We're number 5. We don't need to be ranked number 1 every week, because 12 teams make it. You gotta be number 12. That's all you gotta be. Just gotta make the college football playoff. So we're good. Hook 'em horns, motherfuckers. All right, y'all. Enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.